From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Andy provides an update from the field as he begins soybean planting. I will wrap up my conversation with Troy Bauer of BASF about SCNfields.com, a new tool to help growers fight SCN. And Russ learns about the Cornerstone planting system from Precision Planting as he talks with Caleb Schlater. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
All right, Mark, here we go from the fields as plant 24 has begun from a soybean perspective at least. And I know there are a few of us that have gotten some corn in the ground as well. This morning, April 15th, of course, crop insurance deadline for corn. So it is officially corn season as well. And conditions, Dustin, are better than half the time that we are out here in May. It's just been absolutely gorgeous the last couple of days. First day, of course, getting all the gremlins out of the system usually takes most of that, and certainly precedence over coverage of acres. But it appears everything's working now, and it's time to settle in and get some stuff done.
Yeah, it looks like Mother Nature's been cooperative. She's even backed off on the wind. Everything's drying out nice. And then, you know, once that seed gets in, hopefully it looks like she's going to give us a little rain tomorrow, possibly to get things watered and get things off to a start. And we know that's just part of the beast. And we'll keep looking forward to your updates. But right now, Greg McBride of Allendale joins us to talk about the grain markets.
Joined today by Greg McBride of Allendale for our opening market discussion. Greg, what are we seeing taking place in the grains?
A little back off to start the week here. Watching the macro markets in response to the situation going on with Iran, sending out drones and attacks on Israel on Saturday. Really thought it was going to be a big move for the macro markets on the high side, but really didn't amount to much as most of the drones were intercepted and there was no major damage done. So crude, gold, silver, which have been very strong, taking a minor step back, also allowing the corn, beans, and wheat to take a step back without that big support there. Other than that, we do have the NOPA crush report coming out this morning at about 11 o'clock, looking for a record high of 197 million tons, almost 198 million tons. So one of the few bright spots we have in the bean market. As we've continued to see export demand languish, we do continue to crush at a very, very high rate, and that's going to offset some of those losses on the export side. So we'll continue to watch that. But overall, it's kind of clear skies for planting over the next few days and weeks here. There are some bouts of rain here and there, but for the most part, the 1 to 5 day does have decent rains across some of the Midwest, but the 6 to 10 day does open things up to get back out there.
And you mentioned it, the turmoil in the Middle East and Iran launching that attack against Israel. We know that kind of situation creates uncertainty, but in that case, like you said, for the macro economy, I mean, the crude oil especially, we know, is affected by that type of activity, but the overall economy, and then it, of course, then plays into the ag marketplace. So is that kind of the pattern we're going to be in here, at least to start the week?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, the biggest thing is just what comes of it. Is Israel going to retaliate? I mean, a lot of what what Iran did was considered retaliation. But at this point, you know, we've seen strong movement in the gold, the silver, the crude oil, moving up to 5 month highs for crude oil, moving up to record highs for gold, and a lot of that is on the uncertainty going on in Israel, Palestine, and the surrounding areas, whether it's Jordan, Syria, Iran, whatever.
Well, we've got more Greg McBride coming up later on in the program. We'll talk about the livestock side of things, but right now Andy Peterson's ready to go. He's got the first round of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Turning a corner, the economics of the pork industry. Iowa, of course, the top pork producing state in the country. Far more hogs in Iowa than there are people. Rob Brenneman, Washington County, Iowa producer, good Iowa Ag Matters advocate, taking his message to Congress. And he said that it shouldn't be this hard to get their labor needs met.
Washington County, Iowa is a very employed county. It's hard to get labor locally. With the TN program, something has changed in that program. It's not as easy to get TNs as we had, and so we need to address that issue, because labor is a big deal to us. And when you look at Prop 12, for example, which we have a large Prop 12 farm, that definitely requires a little more labor, and it also requires a little more use of technology to help us to be more productive in that situation. The two go together, because Prop 12 takes more labor also.
Yes, they're cautiously optimistic for the rest of 2024, and he feels there's a good chance that we could see reversals of some of the difficulties producers faced the last couple of seasons.
Number two.
The push continues for summertime E15 sales in 2024. Of course, we know what's going to happen in 2025. But in the interim, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, John Thune from South Dakota, and Dick Durbin from Illinois are all calling on the administration to permit nationwide E15 sales this summer. They've now sent a letter underscoring the geopolitical importance of uninterrupted biofuel access, noting that the president directed the EPA to issue summertime waivers in 2022 and 2023. Senator Grassley, along with his colleagues, say that enabling the, quote, year-round sale of E15 helped allow our energy supply chain to, quote, address extreme and unusual fuel supply circumstances.
Number one.
A bit unique will be the upcoming growing season, aren't they all, to a certain extent? But one feature will be the transition, apparently, from El Nino to La Nina. According to Mitch Roth, proprietary agronomist with Farmers Business Network, who says we could see a wide range of outcomes in Iowa this growing season as the El Nino weather pattern switches. One example, getting into the fields early this spring.
So it doesn't necessarily transition this quickly, and I'm not a meteorologist by training. I'll put a caveat on that. But my understanding is there's usually more often a few years in between these different cycles, the La Nina versus the El Nino. So a little bit of a unique year in that we're experiencing that transition a little bit more quickly.
He says by studying the weather and referencing past data, farmers can build their plan now for the upcoming growing season. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, we're going to have the continuation and conclusion of the conversation Mark Magnuson had with Troy Bauer of BASF talking about their SCN website. That's coming up next here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. This is Iowa Ag Matters for your Monday.
Well, the unseen past. The number one yield-robbing pests for soybeans, as they're known, are soybeans as nematodes. Trying to bring them more to the surface, at least the damage that can be done, the importance of treatment, that sort of thing, is our friends at BASF. We continue the conversation that Troy Bauer and I had last fall on managing this pest, Mark Magnuson. Now with Troy from BASF. Mark?
Troy, thanks for taking the time to join us here today. SCNfields.com, right there in the name, soybean cyst nematode. And Troy, I have talked to you about this very same topic in the past. We know that SCN is so difficult to deal with, largely in part because of so much of it is happening under the surface of your field. So really just another tool to hopefully get ahead of this before it is prevalent in your area, or like we've talked about, if your neighbors are dealing with a lot of SCN, for example, you can then take the steps to hopefully protect your fields.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Growers need to pay attention to SCN on their own fields. And once it's detected in their fields, develop a great management strategy. And the steps to kind of follow along that is once it's detected in your fields, make sure you're rotating away from soybeans. And so many growers do that very well by getting into non-host crops such as corn and other crops out there. Also, when you plant soybeans, ensure that you have genetic resistance in your soybeans like PI88788 and peaking source cyst resistance. And you need to rotate those sources of resistance Many people are talking about Peking source cyst resistance, and that does a great job, but you can't just rely on that. You need to rotate back and forth. And then kind of the third leg of that stool is to make sure you use an effective seed treatment, such as an Olivo product that actually kills nematodes at every stage of their life cycle. So growers really need to develop a active management strategy to manage their SCN in their fields.
And Troy, back to your first point about rotation, I think there might be some people out there that think that just rotation is enough to completely eliminate SCN from your fields, but that's not the case.
The SCN eggs can really last in the soil for a long time. And the studies that many of the leading nematologists have done around the nation show that you can decrease SCN eggs in the soil about 50% that first year, and then another 20 to 25% the following year. And then those eggs get really recalcitrant and they can last a long time after that. So once it's present in your field, they're going to be there pretty much forever. And you need to have a really good management strategy to mitigate the effects on the yield in your fields.
So, Troy, as we wrap things up here today, is there anything else you'd like to let our growers here in Iowa know about SCNfields.com and the ways they can utilize this new tool to hopefully help them out on their operation?
Yeah, I would just encourage growers to go out to SCNfields.com and kind of understand a little bit more what's going on in their area. And if they have questions about this, I would encourage them to call their trusted agronomic advisor or call up your local BASF representative. We would love to help you develop a management plan around this very significant pest.
He is Troy Bauer with BASF. Troy, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here today. Have a great rest of your week.
Mark, thanks so much for your time. You have a great week.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Well, I am out planting soybeans today, as I mentioned earlier. We're utilizing some precision planting technology with the E-sets on the bean planter. They've got a whole planting system now that's been developed since then that I'm excited to learn more about, called Cornerstone. Russ will fill us in on that after a bit. Right now, Dustin takes a look at the statewide elevator prices in just a moment.
Let's run down some of those elevator prices for you this morning on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Dustin Huffman. Not seeing a whole lot of change as the planters start rolling here in Iowa. We'll take a look at where the numbers are sitting. Starting at ADM Burlington, they're a nickel under on corn. They're at 428. Soybeans 12 cents under at 1156. Cargill and Eddyville, 15 cents over on corn. Cash bid 448. New Co-op Algona, a nickel over at 438. Soybeans 55 cents under at 1113. Ag State Sheldon, they are 18 cents over on corn today at 4.51. Soybeans 65 cents under at 11.03. Ag State in Elta, they're 9 cents under on corn. Cash bid 4.24. Soybeans 55 cents under at 11.13. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 15 cents over on corn. They're at 4.48. Soybeans even today. Cash bid 11.68. At Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, they're 15 cents over on corn at 4.48. Soybeans 45 cents under at 11.23. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 15 cents over on corn, 448. ADM Des Moines, 8 cents under on soybeans, cash bid 1160. New Co-op Red Oak, a nickel under on corn, 428. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 1118. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, they are 10 cents under on corn today with a cash bid of $4.23. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 1118. At New Co-op Sheraton, they're 22 cents under on corn, 411. Soybeans, 55 cents under at 1113. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 8 cents under on corn, 425. Soybeans, 35 cents under. They're at 1133. At New Co-op Glidden, they're nickel over on corn today. Cash bid 438. Soybeans 50 cents under. They're at 1118. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 3 cents over on corn today at 436. Soybeans 40 cents under. Their cash bid 1128. At Cargill and Muscatine, they're 4 cents under today on corn. They're at 429. Soybeans 11 cents under. Their cash bid coming in at $11.57. Cash corn and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's been a check of your basis prices here on Iowa Ag Matters. Stay with us.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We got more market information still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy and Mark will run down the midday numbers, grain and livestock for you both. Don't forget about our free market analysis sent 3 times a day to your mobile device free of charge from Google, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and Podbean, the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network Market Podcast. More Iowa Ag Matters coming up.
Well, as Andy has said from the field, that obviously having the greatest tools you can have available makes the job so much easier. And the folks at Precision Planting have been doing the best to help getting those seeds into the ground with that precision. And they're excited about their new Cornerstone product. And we'll have a chance to hear about that with the folks at Precision Planting. Well, Caleb Schlater of Precision Planting sits down with special correspondent Russ Parker.
So what's kind of your focus here? What do you want to talk about today?
So I would love to talk about the Cornerstone planting system. We just launched at our winter conference this past year. It's really just an incredible thought process where we're creating a new option for growers in the market. So you used to be able to, if you want to bring new iron onto your farm, you had to go and buy new paint. You had to go buy a brand new planter, make a really large investment, maybe the only time you're going to make that investment in your farming career, or you go and buy a used piece of equipment, something that was set up and configured by somebody else, and you're going to buy that at a lower price, but you're getting a new piece of equipment on the farm for you. We figured that there's an opportunity to how do we find a third option where you're getting the technology, the planter set up the way that you want it, the way that's going to overcome obstacles or challenges for you on your operation, but it comes with the new paint, the new ability, or the ability to have new iron onto the farm. And the only thing that really you need to bring is the bar. So it is a true planting system. It's everything from the W-plate back, and it's integrated with precision planting technology. It's designed by individuals who got their boots dirty in the field, and it's really built to be a flexible factory option. Now, flexible and factory, they kind of fight each other. You don't really hear flexible and factory together, but we believe that there's an opportunity to provide the options on Cornerstone that the grower truly needs on their operation, because every grower's operation is unique, and we want to be able to help support them in that.
So let's talk about some examples on what options there might be.
Yeah, so all of our technology, so we are a retrofit company first and foremost. We love bringing technology and making it accessible to a grower no matter what they're running. But with the Cornerstone planting system, now you get to decide, hey, do I want hydraulic downforce? Do I want electric metering? Do I want to put on smart firmers so I can sense the soil? Do I want to have furrow force so I have a better closing system that's adaptive in multiple conditions? Do I want to have Reveal, which is our row cleaner, which is a bar-mounted row cleaner, and making sure we're taking that shock load off? So there's a way that you can design it to where it's addressing the needs on your operation. If you are have liquid fertility on your planter, there's opportunities and options that you can build onto it to make sure, hey, I can address that on our farm. So we really have a heart around making it to where you can pick and choose what you would like to move forward with that on the Cornerstone planting system.
So let's talk about another part of it, and that's there's got to be a connection between the operator seat and the planter.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the things that is part of your business from that perspective.
Yeah, so that's really our 2020. The 2020 monitor is a phenomenal tool for myself as a grower. You know, when I think back to the history of putting seed in the ground, it was always just the lights that were telling us, are we putting seed in or not? And now we brought the 2020 onto our farm. We're having some really incredible metrics that are telling us how good of a job we are doing or if there's something going wrong right there in the moment. And it allows us to make management decisions. That's huge. To make management decisions while I'm in the pass, in the field, in the moment, to where I'm not looking at a yield map in the fall saying, what went wrong? What happened? I can make that decision during the spring pass and receive the benefit of the yield later on. So the 2020 is a very intuitive monitor. That's what connects all of our technology, and it's really designed to go across every pass now. So it's not just planting, it's spraying, it's harvesting, making sure that, those metrics, those insights are visible so you can have a better season and be more precise on every single pass of the year.
We'll have the rest of this conversation with the folks at Precision Planting coming up tomorrow. Right now, Andy's got his second round of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Increasing again large tractor sales for the second straight month, according to data compiled from our friends at the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Kurt Blades is senior vice president. He says that March sales jumped 3.2% compared to last year, following February's increase of 2.8% compared to 2023. Year-to-date totals of ag tractors and combines are below, though, 2023's pace. He adds that as we, quote, start the planting season, we're optimistic about the future of the ag equipment market.
Number two.
Turning a corner, the economics of the pork industry. Iowa, of course, the top pork-producing state in the country. Far more hogs in Iowa than there are people. Rob Brenneman, Washington County, Iowa producer, good Iowa Ag Matters advocate, taking his message to Congress. And he said that it shouldn't be this hard to get their labor needs met.
Washington County, Iowa is a very employed county. It's hard to get labor locally. With the TN program, something has changed in that program. It's not as easy to get TNs as we had, and so we need to address that issue because labor is a big deal to us. And when you look at Prop 12, for example, which we have a large Prop 12 farm, that definitely requires a little more labor, and it also requires a little more use of technology to help us to be more productive in that situation. The two go together because Prop 12 takes more labor also.
Yes, they're cautiously optimistic for the rest of 2024. And he feels there's a good chance that we could see reversals of some of the difficulties producers faced the last couple of seasons.
Number one.
A bit unique will be the upcoming growing season, aren't they all, to a certain extent? But one feature will be the transition, apparently, from El Nino to La Nina. According to Mitch Roth, proprietary agronomist with Farmers Business Network, who says we could see a wide range of outcomes in Iowa this growing season as the El Nino weather pattern switches. One example, getting into the fields early this spring.
So it doesn't necessarily transition this quickly, and I'm not a meteorologist by training. I'll put a caveat on that. But my understanding is there's usually more often a few years in between these different cycles, the La Nina versus the El Nino. So a little bit of a unique year in that we're experiencing that transition a little bit more quickly.
He says by studying the weather and referencing past data, farmers can build their plan now for the upcoming growing season. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, the markets are going to be looking at this planting progress, and of course, the crop progress report comes out a little later on this afternoon. We'll take a look at how the livestock and grains are doing here at midday. Coming up next on Iowa Ag Matters.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by Justin McKinney of Comstock for our Midday Market discussion. Justin, we've got a lot of red on the screens in the grains. Is this follow-through from the report last week, or is this tied to the uncertainty with all of the turmoil in the Middle East right now?
Well, when I would say probably more so tied to the geopolitical events going around. We saw oil really shoot up last week. This week, not getting follow through. Currently down about $1.20 on the crude oil. I think that we probably hit some resistance in the near term on the crude oil. Funds may be taking a little bit of breather. And it's going to be awful tough to rally that corn market when you're looking at such a huge short position by the funds right now going into planting season.
With the double-digit drop in soybeans, what are we pointing to mostly for the soybean drop today?
Well, today we had export inspections out, which were good on corn, but switching to beans, came in at 15.9 million bushels. That's the lowest in 30 weeks, all the way back to the new shipping season last September. It's just not a great look for the soybeans, and we can't seem to get those buggers sold. And we did have a flash sale of corn today to Mexico, but not followed by any beans. So beans are finding some tough rows here to go in the short term.
That was Justin McKinney with Comstock.
Thank you to Mark and Justin McKinney of Comstock Investments for joining us on that grain analysis. Mark will be back later with the midday market prices. As for right now, taking a look at some livestock data for comparison purposes. Daily cattle slaughter at 109,000 head. Saturday was 12,000 head. That compares to a week ago being 115,000. So we're 6,000 shy of a week ago. For Saturday a week ago, it is just half of what it was. And then a year ago on the daily cattle slaughter was about 3,000 higher. Very comparable for the Saturday numbers, about 1,000 higher a year ago. Taking a look at the daily estimated cutout values, current cutout values for a choice are at $3.57. That is $2.20 higher from the prior day, and that is on 66 loads. Select cuts current value at $2.95.54. That is 39 cents higher than the previous day, and that is on 17 loads. And taking a look at the daily hog slaughter, today estimated at 484,000 head, Saturday at 89,000. Today's is 1,000 shy of a week ago and is about 20,000 above a year ago. Totals for Saturday, about 20,000 shy of a week ago and less than half of a year ago.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
At midday, May corn down 4.25 at 431.25. May soybeans down 13.75 at 1160.25. On the Merck, April live cattle up $1.82 at 180.72. April feeder cattle up $2.20 at 239.80. May lean hogs up 42 cents at 94.30. May pork cutout down $3.17 at 101.25. And class 3 milk up 4 cents at 15.45. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Let's continue the market conversation here, shall we? Livestock is the focus of this feature, down pretty hard on Friday. Hopefully a recovery today. Greg McBride from Allendale now continuing the discussion with our own Mark Magnuson.
Let's go over to the other side of the ag marketplace in the livestock complex. What are we seeing with the protein sector?
We did see some better box beef numbers on Friday, but cash trade was not all that great. It was actually down a little bit last week. We did take another step back, just a minor step back on the fat cattle by about 57 cents last week. So there was a lot of back and forth. It kind of does look like we're moving in a little more of a short-term sideways move here. But we've got to see what happens with more of this bird flu situation. If they continue to see cases pop up, that can put us on the defensive. Other than that, it's going to be watching this cash market. Box beef seems to have stabilized, but the cash market needs to start to move back higher.
And then what about the hog side of things?
Hogs took a nice big step back. You've got the funds at near record longs, and then they
took a big step back on Wednesday and Friday. So you're now about to call it $7 off the highs, just based off those two days of weakness. Overall, I don't think that's necessarily a trend change. But this is a market that has been in a very strong uptrend. It needed to see a little bit of a recovery or a setback to keep it healthy. For right now, this is something I would watch. You did step back a little bit on the open interest. So if that becomes a trend lower, that could be the funds starting to liquidate some of those long positions, and that'll be another reason to maybe go back and retest some support levels in moving averages and whatnot. But as far as that market for right now, the cash hogs have been still very strong. It's just a matter of how much of a correction do they want to see before they start to work it back up.
Greg McBride of Allendale, our guest here today. Greg, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
Give us a call at 800-2-MARKET. That's 800-262-7538.
Greg, thanks for the time. As always, appreciate it. Have a great week.
Thank you, Mark.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, as we've all been talking about, Andy is in the planter today. Well, he's in the tractor pulling the planter. He's not in the planter. But he is planting soybeans here today. We're going to talk with Andy and see how things are looking out there and see how the weekend went getting everything squared away. So stay tuned for some planting updates here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. This is Iowa Ag Matters. Well, we are back here on the last part of Iowa Ag Matters, and as you've been hearing in the background, as we talked about in the beginning of the show, Andy is out driving the planter around today, putting soybeans in first. And I guess, you know, first of all, I want to ask Andy, first of all, how are the conditions out there? I know you mentioned that things are about May-like out there for the middle of April. I mean, all in all, what have you been seeing this weekend condition-wise?
It is fantastic to in the no-till environment, at least. That's what I can speak to, is that's all we have long-term no-till. It is better in early April than I think I've ever seen it. From a soil temperature perspective, we got over 60, obviously, with the warm weather. A little chilly, some white frost on Saturday morning surprised me a little bit. But boy, did we rebound from that. And the dryness after quite a bit of moisture, it has soaked away. Some of the tile actually they were running and then they quit running again. So it looks great. That's always the first consideration. Dust is flying. Is it fit? It's got to be fit. It is. Forecast looked good for some soybean planting. Should wrap up this particular piece, which is not anywhere near a majority or even half of the acres, but it's a chance to get the planter running, work the gremlins out of the system. And there is no question that the research shows the earlier you can get the beans in the ground and get them out of the ground, and of course the caveat is keep them from getting frozen, the better yield potential that they have. So you're always trying to find that balance of the late frost versus a percentage of higher yield potential on your crop. And so with all of that said, you get some acres of beans in, get the planter going, and then start to think about the corn crop and what we need to do for that. So that's kind of where we're at. I think I said earlier, Dustin, you never get a whole lot done in terms of acreage coverage on the first day. It just for whatever reason, never works that way. It's more about flushing the bugs out and kind of getting everything shined up, so to speak, even from a technology perspective. And now here on day two, I think I've already gotten more done in about 3 hours than I did for about seven or eight yesterday.
That's just the way it works. But once you get that thing dialed in, it's going to make all the difference in the world. But then again, then you get to, you're talking about going over to corn. That means you're going to have to redial it in for corn too. But, you know, at least you're getting the kinks worked out. Now, you mentioned earlier about the soybeans, and that's something we've just really relatively started doing differently here in the Midwest. I mean, only in the last couple of years. I mean, it used to be corn first, soybean second. You know, that was just the way things were. And that right there shows the adaptability of the farmers, taking the data that we're seeing that beans are actually a lot more sturdy than we think. And yeah, just like with corn, you got to make sure you don't get them frosted off. But for the most part, we're finding out that planting them earlier, they're a little bit more resilient for it means for staying into the soil a little bit longer, and they'll go when they're ready to go, no doubt about that. But yeah, you know, we're, that really has, that message has changed in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it has. They're two separate crops. Certainly the seedling vigor of a soybean seed is stronger than a kernel of corn. They'll push for 45 days through colder conditions than corn will. Corn, certainly the two crops, likes to stay at the hilt, and whereas soybeans, in terms of seedling strength, more maybe of the Holiday Inn type variety, you can take more chances or more risks with them. However, once they're out of the ground, it's a different story. Corn, the growing point, of course, remains below the ground until it's at about V4, I believe it is. So it can get frosted off quite a ways and survive. Soybeans, as soon as they emerge, if it gets cold, they're done, and you'll be back out here with the planter. So fortunately, that hasn't happened. Basically, since, and this will be our sixth season planting soybeans at and or before corn, and we have yet to experience a really late frost, like end of May. Now, there were a few sleepless nights, and there have been some instances of that occurring. I don't know about in Jones County, but Eastern Iowa, we've been fortunate it hasn't happened here. Hopefully it doesn't. I suppose one of these years will be our turn, huh?
Yeah, that's just the way it is. I mean, we've seen that for a lot of things, especially when it comes to weather, you know, droughts or floods or whatever. Always seems like it's always been somebody else, and eventually it's going to be our turn, but we can always discuss that, especially with drought, another time. We're getting ready to wrap up the show. That is coming up right after this here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, just like that, we got the first show of the week under our belts. And Andy, thanks for joining us from the tractor. We wish you the best of luck as you keep going there today. And, of course, thanks to Mark and thanks to Riley for being a part of it and making us sound good here today. And, of course, thanks to you for listening in on Iowa Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, online at iowaagnet.com. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good day. Bye.